I invite you to take your Bibles to our text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, as Paul continues his letter to young preacher Timothy. Paul, the veteran preacher, he saw about everything there was to see in ministry, and now, because of the preaching of the gospel, he finds himself in prison on death row, and not for any crime he had done, but for preaching the gospel. And he knew his days were short, and he got this, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, got these letters off to young preacher Timothy to be help and encouragement. And what we've been looking at in the past few messages is the challenge to stay true to the Word, to stand against false teachers, to make sure that you are preaching the truth from God's Word. Now, we have what Timothy did not have. We have the completed Scripture. We have all the way from Genesis to Malachi, and we have from Matthew to Revelation. So we are blessed. And as Christians, when we want to learn, we go to the Bible. When we want to know truth, especially in the most important areas of life, which is the spiritual area and our relationship with God, life, death, eternity, all of these big questions that people have in their lives, we want to go to the Word of God where the answers are. So as Paul encouraged Timothy, we'll look at some of the ways he encouraged here in just a few minutes, but we encourage each other by the Scriptures, in the Scriptures, and through the Scriptures. It's a vital part of our lives, the work of God through the Word of God. And staying true to sound doctrine. That is the responsibility of the local church, is to clearly and accurately preach the truths of Scripture, to pray for the power of the Lord in the preaching of the Word and the power of the Lord in our lives, so that we can know truth and not depart from truth. So that we don't become one of those people that used to. Well, he used to do this for the Lord. She used to be involved in the local church, and now they are following some other teaching. To be grounded in the Word and to stay there, that's God's plan. We're going to look at this in these verses right after we pray. Father, lead us today in your precious Word. Thank you for bringing each one of us here for your purposes. You know us best and you love us most. And in fact, you know us better than we know ourselves. We think we know, but we don't know. You do know, and you help us by your Holy Spirit through the Word. Prepare our hearts today for what you have for us. Guide us, dear Lord. We pray that thy will be done in this time, this place, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The messenger and the message. And as the age, Timothy, it was confusing. The young churches were struggling. Some false teaching was creeping in. And Paul's helping Timothy to understand and keep things in focus. And then he talks about knowing your teachers. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life. So in the confusing world, when everybody wants your attention, we have the Word of God, and we have the faithful teachers of the Word of God to help us. And what Paul is telling Timothy is, hey, you know me. You've seen what God has done in my life. And thou hast fully known what? First, my doctrine, what I believe. We need to be clear on what we believe and why we believe it. And we need to articulate that to others lovingly, clearly, so that we are known for our doctrine in an age when many people in the broad brush of evangelicalism want doctrine minimized, don't talk about hard things. But, you know, God wants us to deal with reality. And he's given us his word to help us to know what reality is and how to deal with it according to his plan and his purpose. And the messenger and the message. The messenger and the message, both vitally important. There was no gap in Paul's life between his ministry and his personal life. And that's significant. Thou hast fully known my doctrine. Thou hast fully known my manner of life. So important. Paul loved the Lord. It was evident in his life. It was evident in his ministry. What Paul was not fulfilling a profession. He was living out a calling for the honor and glory of the Lord. And Timothy saw that in Paul's life. And all that Paul went through, all of the persecutions, all of the challenges, and here he sits. From coming to Christ and being born again, the only thing Paul ever did was help people. That's all he ever did was help people. And now he's sitting in prison waiting for the executioner. Yet, he's not a man filled with bitterness, rage and anger and frustration. How could God let this happen? After all I've done for the Lord, here I am sitting on this bench waiting for the guy with the executioner's sword. Really? What's Paul doing in his final days? He's encouraging a young preacher. Hey, keep going. Sound doctrine. Know what you believe and why you believe it and live it. And then share it. It is a problem when a preacher, a presenter of the gospel, the truth of Scripture, lives a sinless life, I mean a sinful life. When a preacher of the gospel has a secret life, that's a huge problem. But people get confused because we cannot define success. And if we were to define success today, I think we would have some that would say, well, success is a full church building. Success is extra money to use for ministry. Success is fame. Success. We can't define success. We must define it biblically. Success is when God's people, the born-again believers in Jesus Christ, when they love the Lord their God with all of their heart and mind and soul and live like it, that's successful. And that honor and glory all goes to the Lord. And the question among preachers is usually, how many did you have last week? How big's your attendance? How many visitors? How are you growing? Because that's all, you know, those are all numerical things. But I like the better question is the people that God has entrusted you, they've entrusted these people, God has entrusted these people to your care, how are they doing spiritually? Do they love the Lord? Are they learning from the Scriptures? Are they learning sound doctrine? From the from the wrong view of success position, people look at the huge crowds and numbers, yet in some cases the inconsistency of the life of the one bringing that forward is problematic. Hypocrisy will eventually destroy the hypocrite and those who hear him. When a big, powerful ministry is built on someone who does not have a heartbeat for God, they're in a profession, they're successful, that ministry will be as strong as that person is for as long as that person is. But the beauty of the local church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the work of the ministry is to continually point people to Christ, to be born again, those that are unsaved, and the believers to help establish them and build them up in that faith so that they will keep going in what they know to be true. As Paul says, not boastfully, but factually, thou hast fully known my doctrine and manner of life. Now, does our doctrine match our manner of life? I hope that it does, and I pray that it does. And if there's some areas that don't match, that you could bring areas of your life under the authority of the Word of God. Several years ago, we had the privilege of meeting Keith Knaus, a pastor, Practical Bible Training School, Johnson City, New York. We met him several years ago. He was retired from the ministry. His health was failing. He was in a wheelchair at the time. And after we met him, it was just good to visit with him a little bit. He wrote a little book, and I've mentioned it before, The Heartbeats of the Holy. It's about a 60-page little paperback something, and it is powerful, and it's convicting. And he said, he wrote in this book about this topic, the minister must not fail in the great matters of morality, honesty, and integrity. His private life must ever keep tune with his ministry, or his day will soon set. And the sooner he retires, the better, for his continuance in his office will only dishonor the cause of God and ruin himself. So again, the minister must not fail in the great matters of morality, honesty, and integrity. And when a minister fails in morality, honesty, and integrity, it affects it and maybe eliminates him from the ministry, according to the Word of God. But unfortunately, there's people that have failed in one or more of these areas, but everything's overlooked because they're great preachers. They're just powerful, and they persuade and they move people. I have no desire to persuade or move anybody. My desire is the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to persuade and motivate people. There's a big difference. There's powerful preachers that they can move people, and they can just see all kinds of things happening. But we continue, and many, many pastors continue to call on the power of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the individual to convict of sin, to bring to repentance, and that person repent of their sin, turn to Christ, and be born again, and then begin a lifetime of learning from the Scriptures, the nurturing and the training and the serving until God calls us home. Timothy knew of the persecution that Paul endured. Timothy knew how Paul handled the persecution. Timothy knew how Paul lived his life. Paul endured. God delivered. Timothy observed. Remember, one of the lies of the devil is, nobody cares what you do. Nobody's even paying attention. You can sin this way and nobody will ever know, and it's fine. And well, again, If you do that, God knows, Satan knows, and you know. And it always affects other people, and it always gets out. Paul did not live a sinless life. He's a sinner just like the rest of us, saved by grace. But he loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, mind, and soul. And he was able to write this letter of encouragement by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, recorded for us in the Scriptures so we can learn from it to not finish his life, even facing execution. Not getting to that end of life and being filled with bitterness because he was mistreated. And anger. And it's not... What's that word again? Oh, it's not fair. It's not fair. Have you ever heard that before? And what's your perfect answer is, life's not fair. Life's not fair. Get used to it. Well, we never get used to it. But we can learn to lean a little harder on the Lord. Just closer to the Lord. Paul endured... God delivered, and Timothy observed. Now, in our lives, we're not sitting on death row, thank the Lord. We don't have that measure of persecution in our country. But as you face what you face, and I face what I face, stay close to the Lord. Endure is more than just putting up with, but it's getting through situations with your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and your desire to bring honor and glory to Him. Because there may be a Timothy observing you. There may be a young person observing you. There may be older people observing you. But think about the young people that pay attention. And you may never know that. But you could really be an encouragement to someone just as Paul was, even without the letter writing. Or, unfortunately, every one of us could be the one that really just, we just blew it. And harmed the cause of Christ. Because people are watching. Young people coming up behind us, what are they seeing? People that love the Lord with all of their heart, mind, and soul all of the time, or some of the time, or when there's nothing more important going on? Paul endured, God delivered, Timothy observed. And then he gives some instruction here. In verse 12, maybe a bit of a challenge, maybe a bit of a warning. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So there's a warning, there's a statement of fact here. Biblical truth has never been popular, and biblical truth will never be popular. Now, variations of biblical truth are very popular, but Bible truth itself, not so much. And there's a lot of movements in the world today, in America today, about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But always go to the Word of God to know who Jesus Christ really is. How much He loves us and why He came. He came to save us from our sin. Because we're sinners. Because we're wicked and wretched before God with no hope. Jesus came because He is the only hope. For God so loved the world that He gave God's gift to mankind. We hear a lot about Jesus today. We don't hear a lot about his person and his work. We do not hear a lot today about the exceeding sinfulness of sin in the hearts of people. We're led to believe that we're so good and valuable that Jesus came to help us. No, we are wicked, wretched sinners, and Jesus came to save us from our sin. And when he does that, when you come to Christ in repentance and faith and are born again, that is done in your life forever. Forever. And you think, I just can't figure that out. That's okay, God did. God figured it out and Jesus did it. And we need to understand the fact of our sin and how we have no peace with God. We're completely separated from God because of sin. That's why Jesus came, to take our sin upon himself while he remained sinless and paid our debt, completely paid, and was buried and rose again as he died on the cross for our sin, buried and rose again according to the scripture. Biblical truth has never been popular and will never be popular. The only way to make it popular is to change something about it. Do not do that. Continue to speak the truth in love. Know it. Love it. Live it. Share it. And let God use it however he chooses to use it. We have to understand, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we will not win the world to Christ. And we will not change the world. We can't do it, and we won't do it. But God will use you to influence others for Christ. Maybe you will have the privilege of leading someone to Christ. You'll have the privilege maybe of bringing someone to church with you where they can hear the gospel and maybe give them some good literature to read about the Bible. It's what the Bible says. That's got to be the emphasis. Not 1,300 million opinions, but the Bible. What does the Bible say? Read it clearly and accurately. Don't change it. Don't tinker. Don't spin. Just read by faith, believing God and his word. But it's not popular. All this other stuff is popular. You're not going to change that. But don't let it change you. I just feel like we're missing something because we're not successful. What are we missing? And if you really want to ask the question, what are you missing? You go to Scripture and you read and you pray and you pour your heart out to God. And you realize if you are faithful to the Word of God, that God is working and he will work according to his plan and purposes and not yours. His. We will not win the world. We will not change the world. We can maybe have some influence on those people around us and really try to help them in spiritual things, maybe come to know the Lord, maybe Christians to be encouraged. So we can't win the world or change the world, but by the grace of God, we will live for him. We will raise our families in the truth. That we can do. We will be faithful to the local church. That we can do. And help others with their spiritual needs every time we can. That we can do. You will not win the world. You won't even change the world. But you can live for him, raise your families in the truth, be faithful to the local church, and you can help others with spiritual things every time you have opportunity. What about this persecution then? Some people look at that and think, well, I guess I've never lived godly. I've never been persecuted. I've got it pretty good. I must not be godly. In the context, it was significant to Timothy. But I think we understand it that persecution comes in many forms and varying levels. We're living in a nation that at this point does not persecute Christians. It's making life a little harder for Christians in many areas, but there's no persecution from government, etc. Now, some would argue that some of the things the government does, it's not the level of persecution with Paul sitting there waiting for the executioner. But there's always resistance. When you live for the Lord, you may never face persecution like Paul and others, but you will always face resistance. To live for the Lord is to face resistance, because this old wicked world is going a different direction. You need to recognize that. And it's interesting, too, because you look at this verse, you know, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then you can't help but kind of wonder about these false teachers today who somehow read this, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall have untold wealth, the best health, the nicest cars, the biggest bank accounts, and will live your best day, your best life now. That's a long ways from all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But you know, that's kind of crept into our American mindset, that if I'm really godly, only good things will happen to me. And if something bad comes along, then I must have sinned and done something wrong. And we've got to be careful because we want an exemption from our humanity. You're not going to get it. We will go the way of all the earth. It is a process of aging until eventually the body ceases to function and God says, come on home, and to the believer. And that day is in the Lord's hands. And we trust him in all of that. It's not something that just can't wait. I mean, I can't wait to... I'm looking forward to being there. I'm not really excited about the process, you know, of the body wearing out and tipping over or whatever. Maybe the Lord will come and call us all home at the same time. He also touches again on false teachers. But looking, you know, signs of godliness, that's not health, it's not wealth, fancy cars, fancy clothes, best of everything. That's not a sign of godliness. What are, just briefly, I'm not going to dwell on these. How about these? How about humility? I know that ladies discussed some of this in their Bible study yesterday. How about faithfulness? How about trusting the Lord in all things? Not the outward worldly wisdom of what success is, but a humble believer walking with God is a wonderful thing. I read this statement recently as far as the, you know, being aware of the false teachers and the evil men and seducers, those that would deceive and confuse and lead astray. It's going to get worse. Deceiving and being deceived, and we see so much of that now. It is, and for some of us people that have been around a few years, maybe a lot of years, this whole internet thing, we're clueless. How much noise there is on the internet, people posting and blogging, and our young people are exposed to all kinds of really strange ideas. And just set aside for now the whole moral problem of the things you have on the internet, all the immorality, just set that aside. But all of the false teaching, all of the false philosophies that are being put forward and confusing people. And I don't know that, you know, Paul was talking about this specifically, but I think we're seeing this explosion. And I think if to be honest, and you can disagree with me. I'm you know, that's your privilege. But I think that verse 13 very appropriately fits most of the blogging and the YouTubing and all of this internet nonsense. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And if that isn't a verse that doesn't fit our time, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Because the Bible is seen as less of an authority on anything. And then you have the billions of blogging whatevers out there who claim authority and claim knowledge. And if they don't believe the Bible, they know nothing. I came across this, I think, last week. We can choose the sources of where we look for truth. We can choose how we synthesize and apply it as wisdom in everyday circumstances, but we don't get to choose whether or not something is true. We don't invent truth. We don't determine it. We search it out and accept it with gratitude, even when it is at odds with our feelings or preferences. Yes, people, we can choose the sources of where we look for truth. People do that. And we would say they look in all the wrong places. We can choose how we bring it all together and apply it to our wisdom and circumstances. But we don't get to choose whether or not something is true. It's not true because I've chosen to make that true. It's true if God says it's true. It's true. There's no inventing of truth. And people are so confused. And finally, as we bring this to a close this morning, these wonderful, wonderful words, "But continue thou." Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. He was taught the truth from the scriptures that they had at that time from Paul and from his growing up years. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught you these things? What was their life like? Did they live out these beliefs? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Great words for life. Great words for ministry. Start strong and finish well. Persist. Keep going. Continue thou. Do as much as you can for as long as you can. And don't ever become one of the people that used to. Do not depart from the truth ever. For Timothy, it was the teaching and mentorship of Paul, his upbringing. It was the authority and teachings of Christ as Paul brought them in scriptures. For the rest of us, it is the authority of the Word of God accurately preached and believed. As Timothy from childhood throughout his life, whatever time you came to Christ and were born again, you started an education in the truth. Keep learning, keep growing, keep changing. Because those who depart from the Bible do not find a better way. They never find a better way. So as we close, I say this from the Word of God, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of from the Word of God. Keep on, keep on, and look for ways to allow God to use you to help others. Father, thank you for the instruction that we're able to look at. Paul to Timothy, recorded for us in the Scriptures. I pray that you will continually work on our lives, that we will start strong and finish well. We will keep at it. We will understand what you have for us from Scripture. Our focus will be on the right things. I pray for your people to be encouraged this morning and challenged. And for anyone here that has never trusted Christ, they do not know the joy of salvation, what it is to have sins forgiven. I pray for them. We'd love to help them and encourage them. Thank you for this time in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.